You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Political Cesspool Radio program, our live broadcast for the evening of Saturday, November the 23rd, last show before Thanksgiving. Excuse me. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander in studio with me. As I mentioned on the email list earlier this morning and, of course, to the website as well, this is going to be one of those special shows tonight in which I'm equally excited and passionate about all of the topics we're going to be offering up to you for commentary. It's going to be a show of scorching opinion and analysis. I think every time we present a topic to you for conversation, it's always good. We never just put in filler for the sake of having something to talk about. It's always something we want to bring to your attention. But tonight, I'm just really enthused about each of the stories that we have prepared for you. And with that being said, it is going to be a full show tonight. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has the night off. He is only a few days away from his big marathon and in training and all. So he is resting the bones and the muscles tonight. Winston Smith will be on later in the show. Keith Alexander in with me for the first half of tonight's program. And let's just get right down to it, Keith, if we can. A story shouldn't really be news, but as far as scientists are concerned, it was a major finding this week that DNA affects your political beliefs. And basically what's going on, a massive study involving 12,000 sets of twins caused researchers to conclude that as much as 60% of your political beliefs are influenced by your genetic payload or your DNA. 60%. The story reads, a new international study shows that our genes can explain up to 60% of our political actions, our political commitment, who we vote for, and what ideology we support. The finding comes from a gigantic study of 12,000 pairs of twins. If it turns out to be correct in a deep philosophical sense, then it means that the social sciences have so far overlooked an important variable in the explanation of human behavior. Biology, says Professor Robert Clemensen of the Department of Political Science and Public Management at the University of Southern Denmark. The story goes on, and we have this, of course, posted for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org, that regarding political ideology and political participation, the twins in this study of 12,000 sets of them are virtually identical in their beliefs. In fact, so similar that the scientists could hardly believe it. Keith, this is surprising to me only because it took scientists this long to figure out that your genes, your DNA, what's in your blood and bones, plays more of a factor in how you live and think than the much lower tier factors such as socioeconomics and so on and so forth. I have always been a big believer in genetic predisposition. It just makes the most sense that that would explain how people think and behave, as I said, more than anything else. You know, if you're looking over a group of people, an ethnic group, a race of people, genetic predisposition. It explains why I get chills every time I hear Dixie. This is something that my family, going back to my great grandfather's grandfather, fought and died for the Battle of Shiloh. Genetic predisposition makes so much sense that even someone like myself, a layman in terms of the scientific community, you would just think, well, obviously, how could that even be? Why would you even need to do research? But they're saying that they can't believe that biology plays a factor in this kind of stuff. Keith, your thoughts on this? And I think genetic predisposition, too, by the way, would explain a lot of the deficiencies in some of the minorities communities with regards to their propensity for violent behavior, so on and so forth.
Academic achievement and other things. Yeah, it's really kind of, it throws me a curveball because on one hand, we always argue that it's nature, not nurture. The left has always argued that it's nurture, not nature. But on the other hand, when I look around me in this city and in this state, which, you know, we were celebrating, or not celebrating, but at least commemorating the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And I couldn't help but remember when I first learned of John F. Kennedy's death. All of the children in Hillcrest Junior High School in the Memphis area where I was attending school in 1963 in the seventh grade were marched into the gymnasium, and we were told nothing until we got in there. We thought that World War III might have started. And the principal came up and solemnly advised us in a very grave voice that the President of the United States had been shot, President Kennedy had been shot and killed in Dallas. And when that pronouncement was made, there was at first a stunned silence, and then it was filled almost immediately with raucous cheering. Girls were hugging each other, guys were shaking each other's hands, people were hooraying and hurrahing and whatnot. And, you know, I compare that reaction then in 1963 with the almost uniformly liberal attitude that people in public life, or at least what they present their public persona to be in Memphis today. And I say, if it's genetic, what happened? Apparently, psychological conditioning or brainwashing can overcome genetic predisposition. It's either that, or as I have surmised on this show in the past, liberalism in Red State America, and Memphis is certainly part of Red State America, is a mile wide but only an inch deep. Maybe it's all an act, but I think a lot of these actors don't even know they're acting anymore. We just had the pre-K initiative in Memphis, which is supposed to provide pre-K education for all the black children in public schools in Memphis. It was defeated primarily because the black community didn't like the way of funding it, which was to increase the sales tax in Memphis. I didn't like it because I'm tired of efforts being made to dispossess white children from their normal and natural place according to merit in the economic order. There's this effort by the elites in Memphis and elsewhere to basically displace white kids by getting non-white kids minimally qualified and then giving all the good jobs to them. That's what's happened in South Africa. That's why you see these tent cities, these cities of people living in cardboard boxes and whatnot, even though they have PhDs. Meanwhile, black South Africans that don't even have a high school education are holding positions of power and authority. That's coming to America. Well, if your political predisposition was set genetically, how has the left managed to screw with that, to use a prosaic term, and cause so many white people to become race traitors and work for the dispossession of their own race, James? Answer that one for me.
Well, Keith, to ask the question is to answer it, I guess, to an extent. But I will say this, it just goes to show, and now science is backing up what we all believed and certainly knew in our hearts to be true to begin with, that genetic predisposition plays a substantial role, the most important role in our behavior and evolution as from child to adult. Genes are important. Who you are in your DNA and in that very structure is important. It's the most important thing. And you think about how many generations you go back in your family tree, the integrity that your ancestors had to maintain to get you where you are, it matters. And so when you mix that genetic DNA, your very essence, well, your future offspring will not think like you. They won't have the same heroes, traditions, culture, and values as you. It's important that we keep everything within the family, as we say. We've got to take a break, folks, but we're just getting started.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, coming to you from our flagship station tonight in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network. Simulcasting online to a worldwide audience. Folks, we're already at number 12 as the most listened to show in the country right now, according to TalkStream Live, and growing every week. We get there a little bit faster and climb a little bit higher. What we're doing here, I tell you, folks, one day there will be a book written. And you think I'm being sensational now. One day there will be a book written about when the dispossessed majority, the founding stock of America, decided to quit laying down and taking punches and decided to stand up and unite and decide that they deserve a voice and representatives of their own to advance their unique group interest. And when that book is written, there will be a chapter dedicated to the political cesspool and everything that this show has accomplished based upon the strength our audience has given us. Keith wants to say a quick word to that end. We're celebrating tonight, as we do every night. Every show's a victory, I guess. But there's a story that I'm just really chomping at the bit to get to, but I'm going to toss it to Keith real fast.
I predict that we will be fulfilling the role that Thomas Paine in his pamphlet Common Sense fulfilled in the build-up to the American Revolution, James. That's all I was going to say to that.
We like to set our goals high, Keith, and next week we're going to talk about some of the things that have been going on behind the scenes that perhaps, well, certainly most of our audience is not aware of. It's all good news, folks. It'll coincide with the kickoff of our fourth quarter fundraising drive, which will start next Saturday and run through December 31st. Very important that you steel yourself and prepare yourself to answer that call, because come this time in the month of January, we are going to be, or we are at least poised to be, on a whole different playing field. And we'll tune you in as to why. Just stay tuned each week. All right, Oprah Winfrey, Keith. This is the story. We had lunch, of course, a couple of days ago in downtown Memphis. And this was a story, I think, above all others, that I really wanted to present to the audience and to give you an opportunity to offer your critique. Oprah Winfrey has said in an interview to the BBC last week while promoting her movie The Butler that in order for there to be racial progress, white people are going to have to die. Not just white people, but generations of white people. Millions of white people will have to die. That is the only way we're going to attain racial progress. It was one of the most hateful diatribes against white people that I've ever read, and that's saying a lot. I've been in this a long time. An anti-white tirade on the BBC. And before I read to you exactly what she said, folks, keep in mind that Oprah Winfrey has become a multi-billionaire. Billionaire with a B because of the opportunities given to her by white people. The money that she's raised off of White Housewives, specifically through her talk show Enterprise and Empire. None of her success, none of the success that Oprah Winfrey has sustained would have been possible if she had not been born in what she calls racist America. If she'd been born in Africa, she'd be nothing. Yet she whines that even though white people have made her multibillionaire and given her a platform that she certainly doesn't deserve based upon talent or intelligence, she is still, though, a victim of racism. We all remember, of course, Keith, a couple of months ago, she was in a store in Europe and she thought she was a victim of racism there because the clerk didn't automatically hand to her a $50,000 purse to look at. She gave her, I guess, you know, a purse that was worth maybe only $30,000. Anyway, here's what's going on. And by the way, look at how the media prefaces her comments. They don't call it racist or hateful or bigoted or anything. They say it's frank. It's frank talk. To say that millions of white people need to die, that's not racist. That's not hateful. That's frank. But now, it's hateful or racist when we say we would like to see a rise in the white birth rate relative to that of other races so that our people may survive. That's what they call white supremacist speech, or that we're pro-white, we love our culture, we love our people, not at the expense of anyone else. No, that's hateful. But when you actually advocate the death of hundreds of millions of white people, that's frank. Oprah Winfrey gave her frank take on the state of racism in America and how the United States has evolved as a country in an interview promoting the British release of her film, The Butler. Are there still places where people are terrorized because of their black skin? Yes, Oprah Winfrey said. But Winfrey insisted that the problem would not be solved until older Americans, she's talking about my parents, Keith, my grandparents, people like you, Keith, and Eddie, some of the greatest people I know, until older white people die off. As long as people can be judged by the color of their skin, the problem is not solved, Winfrey said. There are still generations of people, older people, white people, that were born and bred and marinated in racism, and they just have to die. Now, by racist, of course, you know, I don't think I've ever met in all my life someone that just has a irrational hatred for black people because of the color of their skin. I know a lot of people who quite rationally want to keep a safe distance from elements of the black community because of their propensity for violence, because they have scientifically proven lower IQs and poor impulse control. Does that mean all blacks? Absolutely not. But look at the, you know, Oprah said there's places where blacks can't walk down the street. No, she's got it wrong. It's the exact opposite. Have you ever heard of the knockout game, which has made a renaissance this week in even the mainstream press? Polar bear hunting, as some blacks call it? No, it's white people, Oprah, that can't walk down the street because of the color of their skin. There is not a place in America where blacks are terrorized because of the color of their skin. And if there's any racism in America, it's the racist preferences that blacks receive because of the color of their skin, and only because of the color of their skin, when it comes to hiring practices and scholarships that are awarded to them, not because of merit, but because of the color of their skin. What Oprah calls a racist is any white person who sees and speaks the truth. You know, and what planet is she from to believe that there are places, you know, we covered it, that blacks are terrorized because of the color of their skin. That's not on this planet. Blacks are favored over whites by government mandate when it comes to so many opportunities. Everybody knows it's true, and no one should know it's true more than Oprah. And again, what she said here, Keith, and I'm going to toss it over to you, my friend, but I'm getting hot at this because, you know, this is a fat sow. This is a no-good, ungrateful person that's become a multimillionaire in a white country. The opportunities that our people have given her to go out and to succeed above and beyond any skill set that she might have. What she said here is thousands of times more hateful and concerning than anything Paula Deen said 30 years ago in the heat of the moment after being robbed at gunpoint by a black man. But notice the reaction that the two women have received. Paula Deen was the victim of economic terrorism. She lost her livelihood. I mean, certainly she had made millions of dollars, and she's not in the poorhouse by any stretch. And to some extent, Paula Deen deserved it for the groveling she did, not because of what she might have said. Paula Deen was just absolutely raked over the coals, excoriated. And Oprah, you know, she gets a free pass. Not only that, She gets commended for her courage and being frank, her frankness. That the world would be a better place if millions of whites would die, the very people that have made her what she is. And the media treats that venomous rant as if it were thoughtful commentary. That's about as backwards as you can get.
Well, it's really chilling, James, to me, because now it's coming out in the mainstream without any type of criticism whatsoever. In fact, as you said, with praise, with at least muted praise from the powers that be, saying that she's candid and frank, to basically propose genocide for white people. That's what she's doing. It's just, it's absolutely insane that we have that. This is how you slip from being the old South Africa into the new, not improved South Africa, where white people are openly persecuted, where white people are denied jobs and opportunities, and there is no semblance of rights for them when they're a minority. Blacks have all sorts of rights. Blacks in America are under no danger unless they're in danger from other blacks, for the most part. So, you know, this is a crazy mixed up world where white is black is white, and everything is upside down.
When we come back, I want Keith to provide a little more extended thought on that, and we're going to do it right after this. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org. www.europeanamericans.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here, talking about a hot topic. I tell you, that's really good. Very few things really, you do this for 10 years and you pretty much see just about everything. It takes a very special breed of hatred to really raise my ire. But we've seen that out of Oprah Winfrey this week, this ungrateful cow of a person who basically just has spit on the parents of her audience and the grandparents of those who have made her multimillionaire, billionaire, rather. You know, and she gets rewarded for this. She received recently the Presidential Medal of Freedom, you know, Oprah. I mean, I guess it doesn't, you know, that won't come as any surprise. You have a Marxist in the White House, and, you know, they all stick together. But when saying that in order for racial progress to occur, millions of white people would have to simply die. You know, and this was left by someone on our website in the comments section underneath the blog entry about this particular topic. Imagine the media backlash if a white celebrity answered the question along similar lines when asked when the pathological violence and disorder gripping most United States cities will finally come to an end. How do you think they would have been treated? You know, and here's the thing. We talk with frankness on this show. You know, we certainly hate no one, but we want equal rights for all, special privileges for none. But we recognize that there are differences between the races, that there are differences in culture, and that if you really want to avoid conflict, those who share similar values and other things in common, you will limit the rancor by keeping those people together and an arm's distance from others where there's going to be conflict. But at the same time, yeah, I love everyone. I don't love anyone quite as much as my family. We say that all the time, but I certainly don't want anyone to die, and nor have we ever advocated for such a thing. But we are the ones who get slimed with all of these creative adjectives. Someone like Oprah who says something as vile as this, though. Frank talk and worthy of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, Keith.
To understand what's going on, I think you need to understand this, or you need to ask yourself this question. Who could put the brakes on Oprah Winfrey in comments like this? And there's a picture of her here at the website in high dudgeon, in mid-course of her hateful rant. Oprah Winfrey is a no-talent bum. She's a nobody. Like many other nobodies in the past, she has been elevated to a position of prominence and wealth. The question is, who did this? Who could make this transformation happen? And furthermore, who could put the muffler on her mouth if they wanted to? Can somebody really put the muffler on the mouth of somebody like Oprah? Some type of celebrity? Well, absolutely. Look what happened to Gibson, Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson has, you know, basically been silenced and cast into the outer darkness by the entertainment industry, by the entertainment media. Who controls the entertainment media? It's the same entertainment media that lifted Oprah out of poverty and obscurity into billionaire status and iconic status. Well, you know where we're going with this. It's Jewish power and influence, the old hidden hand that seems to be behind the triumph of liberalism everywhere. And, of course, they obviously aren't giving her the Mel Gibson treatment. They're giving her, they're making her an icon. And they're even celebrating what she said. They're rewarding her. They are praising her for saying that whites need to be the subjects of genocide. Now, this is how it's, you know, this is chilling, as I said, because the next step is real punitive action against whites. first you talk about it, then you act upon the thoughts. It's like sin. Sin starts with an idea, with temptation. If you think about something, if you talk about it, that's liable to translate into action. This is what our elites are preparing the table for. They're setting the table for white genocide. At least I fear that's what's happening. And this isn't a fanciful notion, people. If you think it is, you just need to get on the internet and see what's happening in South Africa and the former Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe, to those poor white people that are unfortunate enough to live there and have no way, no refuge or resource, no way to get out. This is what will happen when whites lose control. Consequently, we're playing the role of Paul Revere. We're trying to tell white people everywhere that you better wake up before it's too late, because the enemy is coming, and once they gain control, as Bob Dylan said, a hard rain's going to fall, and it's going to fall on us. And it's not going to be this post-racial paradise that Bill Clinton and other liberals have predicted. It's going to be hell on earth, as people in South Africa could tell you. And Oprah is a canary in the coal mine. She's telling us what the future holds for us. And we'd better listen to Oprah, because Oprah is reflecting the thoughts of millions of non-whites everywhere in the world who see white people through a lens of envy and resentment, which will, you know, translate into actual bloodshed if we don't wake up and grab control of the steering wheel once again, James.
And I think the most interesting thing about this story, Keith, is the lack of public outcry. Now, that's not to say that there aren't millions of reasonable thinking Americans who see the absurdity of what Oprah has said and are offended by it, but there are no organizations that exist other than this show and this network that has the ability to articulate the popular dissent or the will to do it when it comes to issues like this. And, you know, you go back and you say again, if someone had asked, well, when is, you know, rampant black-on-white violence going to end? When's the knockout game going to end? Well, when all the blacks die, if some white celebrity had said that. Well, no shortage. Everybody in the media would have spoke with a unified voice to denounce that. And there would have been countless organizations that would have sprung up to voice their discontent. But here, with this, we're not talking about a hypothetical what if. We're talking about something that actually happened. No one but the political cesspool and this network, this show and this network, of course, work hand in glove to get the word out and get the truth out. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to toss it back to you, Keith, for a final word on the Oprah Winfrey story. I guess perhaps even more absurd, both of the comments she made, the two big comments that she made, were, I guess, equally preposterous, that all whites need to die for there to be racial progress. Number one, that's when the wheels fall off the wagon, folks. The only reason America still maintains a semblance of law and order is because it is a first world nation with still a slim majority first world population. You know, and this is another thing. The day when minorities cease to get preferential treatment is the day when whites become the minority. All of these goodies that are handed out to minorities right now are going to cease the day we dip below the 50% threshold. You wait and see it, folks, if that dark day should ever come. But she also said, Keith, that blacks still can't walk down the street without being terrorized, which is so preposterous. The exact opposite is true. But I bet if there had been a reporter with the balls to ask Oprah a follow-up question or give her any resistance whatsoever. Okay, Oprah, you say that there's places like that where these occurrences still exist. Yes, name them. She could not have come up with not one specific incident in the last 60 years where black people have been terrorized by whites. She would not provide a clear example. She would hem and haw. But of course she gets a free pass. But not here.
Look, 100 times more black-on-white violence than white-on-black violence occurs every day in America. What has happened? It's just like we were talking about earlier about the DNA article and how, if it's DNA, what has happened to white people? Why don't white people speak up in their own defense the way that people did in 1963, 50 years ago yesterday, white people, at least in the South, in red state America, knew where their interests lie. They knew who their enemies were, and they weren't afraid to name them and shame them. Now, white people are afraid to speak out in the defense of themselves and other white people. It's like they're no longer white. What has happened? What type of magnificent mental, psychological transformation has occurred over the past 50 years? What's happened is white people realize in order to get ahead in this new multicultural, multiracial world created by Jewish power and influence, it's necessary for them to toe the mark and to pretend to be, race traitors, whether or not, and if you really want to succeed, be a real race traitor. This is what has happened over the past 50 years. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Wise up, load up at FreezeDryGuy.com. Now is the time to get the freeze-dried meats, fruits, and vegetables you want from Wise, on sale at FreezeDryGuy.com. This delicious, nutritious food is perfect for your emergency preparedness or outdoor recreational needs. It's the food with a 25-year shelf life you see exclusively featured on the popular Doomsday Preppers TV show. It's the same quality line of food the lovely Marie Osmond has been touting all across America. It's the wise investment in your family's future that personal finance expert and radio host Dave Ramsey has been talking about. And it's on sale now through Cyber Monday, December 2nd at freezedryguy.com. So wise up, shop online now or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Make the wise food choice. It's easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and easy to buy on sale now at freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We've got Peter Scoop Stanton on the line. We're going to go straight to him. But first, Keith wants to make a comment, something he and Sam Bushman and I were talking about off the air during the break, right before we came back.
We're looking at the internet ratings for internet traffic to talk radio shows as we speak. It's a simulcast that they have, and they have everybody lined up, and we're number nine. everybody that is behind us and ahead of us is a multimillionaire except for us. And we're trying to scratch our heads and figure out why that is. Well, the obvious reason is we're not sanctioned, we're not approved, and we're not paid by the Jewish paymasters that are in charge of the media. We, like the old country music song, have friends in low places, but obviously not in high places, James.
Yeah, and I know people might say, oh, well, here they are again talking about what number they are. But, folks, you cannot overstate or overemphasize the impact of this. This message that we have sells itself. Unfortunately, it's not profitable in terms of, you know, we barely make enough money to keep the wheels on the wagon, and that's why the quarterly fundraising drives are so important. But it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that these ideas that we have are well-received and endorsed by a huge audience, much larger than our detractors would ever give us credit for. You look at the ratings right now, and to be in the top 10 of the most listened to shows online in the world right now, or in the country. And folks, that is so profound that if I repeated it every 15 minutes, I don't know if the actual impact of it would break through to you to the extent that it should. To be the top 10 with this message proves, we single-handedly have proven and continue to prove every week that these ideas are alive and well and are being met, just not by sponsors, of course, but it's incredible, folks. I mean, we're up there, as Keith mentioned, with Mark Levin and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. You know, some of these people are rebroadcasting, obviously, right now on the internet, but Dennis Miller, ahead of Alex Jones, Herman Cain, Sean Hannity, Mike Huckabee. Again, not all of these shows are live right now, but they are rebroadcasting. In some cases, they are live, but whether they're live or not, it's in terms of
internet traffic.
The most listened to shows, and the political cesspools right there in the conversation in the upper echelon. Folks, you've made that happen. What we're building here is so special. And I really feel as though we're 9 years into this thing now, but I really feel as though we're about to turn a corner with our television opportunity coming up in January to be in a reality show that's going to air to millions. You just wait and see. Come Valentine's Day, this could be it could be a whole new ball game. I'm telling you. Anyway, I didn't mean to chase that rabbit, but anytime we mention that, folks, it's because you deserve the credit. The credit, it all goes 100% to the audience, especially the contributors. It's really amazing. You deserve a round of applause, larger and louder than we can give you. I say it again, we're doing something very special here. Scoop, what do you got for us tonight, my friend? More Oprah Winfrey stuff, I think.
Yes, sir. Even cesspool family. This must be the Oprah hour because finally, here's my review of Lee Daniels, the butler. Now, if you never knew any history or anything about the United States and watched this movie, you would think from the Eisenhower to the Reagan administration, the United States was just composed of the southern United States from Texas to the Atlantic Ocean. And white people were nothing but racists, and black people were victims of white racism. This movie is just an absolute piece of work. I had to use another four-letter word, but that'd violate FCC policy. During this movie, the main character played by, what's his name? I forgot the guy's name. It's not important. The guy who played...
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. He gets a job working at the White House, and every time he goes into the Oval Office or has interaction with the president or commander-in-chief, it's over a racial situation. Busing, Martin Luther King, church bombings, anything like that. This movie, Glaze did not mention anything about the man going to the moon. It barely touched over the Vietnam War because the main character's son died in the Vietnam War. Didn't mention Woodstock. Didn't mention the gas crisis. Didn't mention the Kennedy administration, since obviously he worked for old man Kennedy. But it was nothing but race. And then the movie took lots of liberties. One of the other main characters, which is the son of Forrest Whitaker's character, became a Freedom Rider and a Black Panther, and it showed him at the Lorraine Motel in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. Now, when when I say Lee Daniels took liberties, is that they showed the character, Dr. King, and all his other people in the motel room, and no white women. Now, we all know that if you listen to the political cesspool or you do some history, you know that Martin Luther King Jr. was doing some things before that fateful April morning. So, again, I give the movie 3 prejudices. It was an absolute piece of garbage. There's no historical fact. And, of course, Oprah was in it. She contributed next to nothing. And also, one of the main characters was President Reagan, played by Alan Rickman. Now, Alan Rickman made a name for himself playing Hans Gruber in the Die Hard film. So as I'm watching him playing President Reagan, he was talking his own voice, his own accent. So, bro, Alan Rickman, am I watching Die Hard?
I never knew that Reagan was Jewish.
Right. And I'm like, didn't this guy take any coaching lessons in terms of voice or his mannerisms? But, I mean, it was like watching Die Hard all over again, except without the beard. But, again, I give it 0 stars. Don't even bother renting it just to complain about it because it's not even worth your time.
Isn't it amazing, Scoop? This is Keith Alexander. How they sanitize that entire era, that basically black people were pure as driven snow, and white people were, hateful persecutors with no reason whatsoever to maintain segregation or to act the way that they did. There's no understanding of historical accuracy in these things. Basically, we make this tremendous mistake, or at least, and it's made on purpose by people who should know better in Hollywood, of judging historical people or personages by present-day standards. No one was insane enough in 1860 or even in the 1960s to think like a modern liberal of today thinks about race. And nothing brings that home to me quite so well here locally in Memphis as the celebration of the 50th anniversary or commemoration of the 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination on November the 22nd, 1963. I remember when it happened, seeing all of these white kids in the school I attended, jubilant, cheering, happy, congratulating one another. Now today, I saw yesterday on the news several of those people who have now risen to political prominence, and they've apparently had collective amnesia. They don't remember doing any of those things that I actually saw them doing with their own eyes. They profess to be profoundly saddened. They were blubbering. They were crying. They were upset. They had this self-serving, phony testimony. And the thing that was scary about it, Scoop, is I think they actually believed it. You know, the most convincing liars are liars that can convince themselves of the truth of what they're saying. These people are sociopaths. They apparently have been brainwashed to the point that they disremember what they actually did and remember things according to this Hollywood-produced script of the way people should have reacted back then. I was watching something on ESPN today, at Sports Center, about Roger Staubach and all of his teammates and how, where they were when they found out about John F. Kennedy's assassination and how profoundly upset they were and how this changed their lives and everything. And I remember that week, I remember watching Navy play Army, I think the following Saturday after the assassination earlier in the week, and I never heard a bit of this. This is all contrived lying that is sanctioned by the elites in this nation. It's time to tell the emperor he had no clothes, James.
And I want to thank Scoop Stanton for contributing a timely review of The Butler. Of course, this ties in with what we were talking about in the previous two segments with Oprah Winfrey's rant. That rant, by the way, which was given to the BBC as they interviewed her as a result of her role in The Butler. She played Forrest Whitaker's wife, I believe. And Forrest Whitaker, if you don't know the basic plot of the movie, he was a butler, just an all-shucks, good old guy butler. in racist America who basically was the wise sage and the oracle for four or five consecutive presidents, and it was through the wise counsel that the presidents received from the butler that they were able to navigate the stormy waters of white racism.
Just a revamping of the role of Morgan Freeman in Driving Miss Daisy, only now he is a butler in the White House. They keep coming back to the same set of stereotypes.
And I will say this, though. I am a big fan of Alan Rickman. He's a hell of an actor, but I didn't see his role as Reagan in The Butler. Thank you, Scoop. Love you, buddy. Talk to you next week. And for the rest of you, second and third hour coming up, and it's going to be just as good as the first. I guarantee you. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
Another hour of The Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.